Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And we are a live program, and we do have phone lines open. And if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray you bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody today. Help us to point someone that's searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And most of all, help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the program today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you this afternoon, and gorgeous day out today, and I think right around 80 degrees or so when I got up to the studio here, and the sky is just nice puffy clouds drifting around, and there may be a chance of rain here and there, but really it's been pretty nice out today so far, just been enjoyable, so I hope you're a chance to get out and enjoy it a little bit. Well, just wanted to mention a couple of things coming up here, and encourage you to tune in and join us on Sunday night, our Sunday night program. Of course, we're on every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. We will be, get my tongue tied there, we will be celebrating our 16th anniversary of being on the radio this coming Sunday night, and we have some books that we're going to be giving away, Bible Promises book, also a When a Child of God Dies book. So that's coming up this Sunday night, so I hope you'll join us Sunday evening, 11 o'clock till midnight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, for Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Also, just wanted to mention, too, here that you can find out more about us on our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I've been asking for prayer because we have been unable to get in and update it. Well, I'm thankful. We managed to get the issue resolved and back into updating the webpage. So I did upload some programs. I think we are currently loaded up until the 14th of August. So that's last Sunday night's program. Also got a few more things on there, our church newsletter and a few other things linked to that, but it's been a little while since we were able to get these things uploaded. And also, in addition to that, we got our church webpage uploaded, and that one there was a bit behind. We still had our Father's Day meme on the top of it. We had a picture for Father's Day and inviting people out for Father's Day at our church, and finally able to get that taken care of and got that resolved, and making some updates there. And then, of course, you know, you can go to all of that at livewithpastoral.com, and if you'll do that, you can link to our church webpage and find out more about us, more about the church, and also where we're at when we meet. We are located, of course, you'll have more about this at the end of the program, but we are located in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland. Invite you out for our Friday night Bible study tonight if you're not doing anything. We meet 7 to 9. It's an informal Bible study, and you bring the questions, and we will search the Bible together, and we have refreshments, and it's just an informal time, and it's enjoyable. It's one of my favorite, I'd hate to call it a service, because it's not really a service, but it's one of my favorite ones that we have during the course of the week. And then, of course, we've got our regular services every Sunday, and Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is our morning worship service. I'm currently preaching through the book of 2 Peter, And then on Sunday night, our evening service, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so I invite you to come out for that. The morning service at 11, the evening service at 6 p.m. And, of course, our Friday night Bible study tonight, from 7 to 9. All right, well, we're going to get back into a couple of things here this afternoon that I was looking at. And I was actually sort of torn between two passages of Scripture. I was originally starting with something that I was reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And I was looking at that because I had been reading an article that was talking about the view that people have on what's going to happen in the latter days, and how, in a sense, what we call this age, the church age, is going to end. And there's an article I was reading called "The Slippery Slope" by Jan Markel, and she had laid out four things that a lot of people believe. One of them is that a great awakening is coming. There'll be a tremendous revival. God's going to pour out His Spirit. And that's, she harkens back to the book of Joel, the Old Testament, the prophet Joel, when he talked about the pouring out of His Spirit upon people, and a great revival, and then the rapture of the church will take place, the catching away of the believers. And then she also pointed out, number two, is that God is long-suffering and patient, wants all to be saved, and so we've got a long time, decades probably, at least before the gospel, before the Lord comes back, to reach as many people as we can with the gospel. And all this talk about worrying about the soon coming of Christ is distracting us from the work that we ought to be doing, winning souls. And, you know, I will pause there for a moment. There is somewhat of a point there. We can spend so much time looking to where we're going that we don't do what we're supposed to do in the meantime. And then, of course, number three, she had here that the elections coming up, the midterm elections in 2022, presidential elections in 2024, and in America, we're going to see America turned around. We're going to make America great again. Prosperity is going to return. Life is going to get back to normal, and we are going to make a difference for the cause of Christ. And a lot of people believe that that's what's going to happen next. And I will put a note on that one. I believe in doing all that we can to make America great again, to get the right people in office, but I look at it, my understanding of the Bible, and having been preaching the Bible since the 1980s, my understanding of the Bible is that we have the tide coming in. And just like I read there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The tide is against us, but we're busy sandbagging, trying to do as much as we can where we're at, being salt and light in the world around us, trying to reach people with the gospel, see people saved, encourage people in their walk with Christ, and take a stand to do what we can to be a blessing to those around us, and hopefully retard the lack of morality and stuff by doing the right things. You know, in other words, being salt and light. And so we're sandbagging, but the tide is against us, and eventually the Lord's coming back for us, and then, of course, those sandbags will crumble, and the Antichrist and his plans will come to fruition. And then, of course, the fourth one that she pointed out here is that the church is being perfected and tried by fire. The church is going to prevail and eventually correct the problems on the planet, fulfilling in the Lord's prayer on earth as it is in heaven, and the church is going to eventually have dominion over the whole earth, and then Christ's great kingdom is going to come to earth, the kingdom of love and delight. You know, that's the kingdom now or dominion theology plan with no real rapture or anything right there. And, you know, I have a problem with those four, just like Jan Markle does in her article here. And we see, again, as I said here in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, that Paul says perilous times shall come. And so as I was reading this and I was looking at this, I chanced upon some other things that caught my attention, and it reminded me of a statement by the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab there. You know, he's the guy that famously said that you'll own nothing and you'll like it. And here's the interesting thing that we see. He made this statement, and that not only would you own nothing and be happy about it, he also made a statement that says you'll eat much less meat. Meat will be an occasional treat, not a staple, for the good of the environment and our health. And I was looking at that. At the same time, I saw these pictures that somebody had posted online showing how crickets are becoming a protein source that's finding its way into a lot of foods. And they were suggesting you might want to check the label of your snacks before you do it. There's a lot of snack foods, for instance, in the United Kingdom and in Canada that are being produced with what they call cricket flour. And it's essentially ground up, dried and ground up crickets. Now, you know, I know some people might yet be eating lunch, and we're talking about eating crickets, but it's in a lot of foods right now, and they're trying to move in this direction. You can find it in snack crackers and chips. You can find it in cookies. You can find it in all kinds of things. And it is a very, very good protein source. In fact, there's a lot of cultures in the world that have eaten crickets as a staple in their diet for many years. But one of the things that they're hoping to do with promoting crickets is that the global impact of crickets is much less than, say, eating beef or some other type of animal food, sheep, mutton, or pork, or even chicken. And so, you know, yeah, that may be true. There's less of an environmental impact on them in terms of the methane and carbon dioxide that's produced. But again, this is tying into this idea that the climate is melting down and we need to panic. And so what we need to do is eat a lot less meat. I heard somebody with the Biden administration, I'm going to go out on a limb, I think it was the chairman of the Department of Agriculture, the secretary of the Department of Agriculture, who basically said that the number of cattle in the United States, the numbers are going to be reduced substantially by 2030. And we're not going to have near the number of dairy cows, for instance. We're not going to have near the number of steers and things that are being raised for meat because, well, according to their thinking, the earth just can't take it. That cow that you see over there that might look like she's providing milk, or that steer looks like he's going to provide a few hamburgers. We look at that and we think it's out on the farm. What could possibly be wrong? Well, they pass a lot of gas, and they burp a lot, and they produce a lot of methane and a lot of carbon dioxide, according to the environmental extremists. That's going to kill the planet. And, you know, it's not been shown to be happening, obviously, and it hasn't been happening. And the planet does have many things in place to absorb carbon dioxide. As carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere go up, vegetation grows thicker and lusher. Many commercial greenhouses pump extra carbon dioxide into the greenhouse in order to boost the production in the greenhouse. And there's times in the Earth's past where the carbon dioxide levels have been higher, and we've seen greater production of plant materials as a result of that. Also, the carbon tends to get sequestered in limestone a lot more and things like that. And as carbon dioxide level in the atmosphere goes down, believe it or not, some gets released from natural sources more, and dissolving limestone and things. That's a whole other area. But just want to come back to the point. As we're looking at this, in latter days, perilous times shall come. The other passage I was looking at was in 1 Peter chapter 4, and it says this in chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Let me pause right there again. This is talking about the latter times, the latter days, the times before Christ comes. And remember the article that Jan Markle wrote where she's talking about the false views that people have. The world's going to get better. We're going to make the world better. All these different things. Great revival is going to take place, and trying to come up with things that take away from what the Bible actually says. Again, we have in the latter days, not that things are getting better, but things are getting worse. People giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. And as he continues here, writing in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You just listen to some of the things that comes out of Washington. Remember when President Obama said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, and later admitted that was an out-and-out lie. We see things coming out now, you know, talking about no recession, even though we've met all the classic definition of a recession, and we're getting better. This is the greatest administration ever, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And people saying these things, lying without seemingly feeling bad about it. Certainly remember President Trump, when he came into office, the Russian collusion that they perpetuated for years, spent millions of dollars investigating, and was proved to be a complete fabrication, a hoax, a lie. And we see things time and time again. Well, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. But it's not just in the political realms, it's in the churches. When you have the majority of pastors in this country and probably in the world do not have a biblical worldview, and you see people saying things that simply are not true. Now, if they do not know that it's not true, I guess we can give them a pass, but oftentimes people are saying things that they know are simply not true, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then it gives us a couple other things here in verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, we can talk about forbidding to marry, and there are efforts to eliminate the nuclear family, to get rid of marriage. marriage, to get rid of families. Remember Hillary Clinton famously, it takes a village to raise a child. There's people who put forth ideas having children is not a right. It should be regulated by the government, because after all, those babies and their carbon footprint, they're killing the planet. And when I was in college at Colorado State University back in the late 70s, early 80s, I actually went to school with people who thought that way. And some of these people are probably now in charge of some of these policymaking things, talking about this stuff and wanting to control every aspect of our lives, including whether or not you can marry and have children. But this one here, commanding to abstain from meats, this is the thing that got me. I'm looking at these things talking about the number of insects that are being used as a protein source instead of meat. And then, of course, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, saying that you're not going to eat meat. Meat's going to be a treat. You'll eat much less meat, is the exact quote. Meat will be, as he said, an occasional treat, not a staple, for the good of the environment and our health. And this idea that you can walk into the store, buy a hamburger, sit down and eat it, or into a fast food place, or buy a steak at a restaurant, or buy one at the grocery store and take it home. They don't want you doing that. You say, well, why not? Well, I came to a conclusion a long time ago. Some of these people like Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and other of these global elitists that are trying to overturn national sovereignty and reduce the United States. In fact, one of the things that Klaus Schwab also said was the U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower, which means they need to do something to take the United States down a few notches. Dare I say the pandemic? Dare I say the energy costs that we're facing right now and the shortages of products? All these things, the invasion across the southern border, just on and on and on, and also the collusion of churches that are, encouraging and helping foster some of these things to remove the United States from a position of being the world's leading superpower. Well, this is part of the plan. It needs to happen for the global elites. But again, this idea, these people want to control everything you do. And as I said, came to this conclusion a long time ago. Remember when you were in school, in grade school? There were always some people on the playground that you could be out there doing what you wanted to do. Maybe you're on the swings and having a good time by yourself, or maybe you're over with some friends on the sliding board or something like that. But there was always a group of kids on the playground that they weren't happy unless they were telling everybody else on the playground what to do. No unauthorized fun allowed. They wanted to be in control. They wanted to tell everybody what to do. Well, those kids grew up and they became people like Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and these other globalists. They became these people that want to micromanage your life. And if they can control what you eat and how much you can eat, they certainly have a hold on your life. George Soros's Open Borders Project, is one of the goals is to relocate and displace, or I'm sorry, move people around. They said 1 billion people are going to be displaced by climate change, and they're trying to force this idea of climate change. But you know what? God said, in the latter days, in the last days, we would live in perilous times, and there would be people who would depart from the faith. So what does that tell me? We're in the latter days, and we see these things happening. Should we give in to them and say, well, it's all over, the Lord's coming, it's just occupy until he gets here? Or should we be busy about the work that he's got for us to do? He put us here in this world at this time to be salt and to be light in the world that's growing increasingly dark and increasingly tasteless and polluted. Well, we need to make a difference, and we need to continue making that difference, doing the work that God has given us to do until the very time that we hear that trumpet sound and the Lord catches us up to be with him. And that's when we sit back and we stop working. It's when we we are caught up to be with the Lord in the air. Let me encourage you with this. As we see things that the Bible says are going to happen in the latter days take place, don't be overwhelmed with that. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21 when he said, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry about this. The Klaus Schwabs and the George Soros and the Bill Gates of this world, they have their moment here, but it's only temporary. But if you know Christ as your Savior, one of these days that trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be caught up to be with Him. What's going to happen then? Well, a 7-year tribulation period is going to come on this earth. We're going to stand before Christ and be rewarded on the basis of our faithfulness. But you got to know Christ as your Savior. Trust Christ before it's too late. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.